Good reminder for why it's important to show up, because you never know what's going to happen around here. So do please be praying for Stephen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at John chapter 13. I want to talk about being a great example. Whether we realize it or not, there are eyes that watch us and are looking to us, some to see what life's about, some to see what following Christ is about. But whether you're 10 or 100 or somewhere in between, people are watching. Someone's watching you for your example. And the most important example that any of us need to be sure we set is pointing people to Jesus. So knowing that regardless of what the situations we might face in life are, that we can, through faith, tackle whatever comes our way. There will be good things that come our way. Unfortunately, they don't last all the time. And there'll be bad things that come our way. Thankfully, they don't last all the time. And it's not whether we have good or bad happen to us. It's how we deal with the situations that we face in life that tell a great story. And so the greatest example any of us could follow is Jesus. I know that was your answer too. And so let's take a look and see what we're going to read verses 1 through 20 this morning. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' And Jesus answered him and said, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will after this.' Peter said to him, 'No, you're not ever going to wash my feet.' And Jesus said to him, 'If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me and has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me." And so just to kind of set the stage and remind us that last week we looked at chapter 12. We saw that triumphant entry into Jerusalem where the crowds were shouting and there was that great party and celebration. People were happy to see Jesus. It's now the week of Passover. And that is, if you have any Jewish friends, that is a big deal. This next week is the Jewish New Year, starting on, I think it's tomorrow night at sunset. But this was an even bigger deal than the New Year. This Passover was kind of the center. It was Easter season. It was that time of year. And for the Jews, it was important to them as Easter is to us as Christians. And there is a great celebration that they would go through, lots of preparation, and it was a big deal. Jesus had observed that all of his life, and now he was going to, in just a couple days, be the Passover lamb. The ultimate Passover lamb that was laid down his life and shed his blood for my sin and your sin and the sin of all the world. And so they're celebrating the supper. John is the only one that mentions what happens after they finish supper. So they had eaten the Passover meal. The meal's over, you eat dessert, you go home. But Jesus did something very odd. He got up, took off his suit coat, if you will, put a towel around his waist, put a pitcher of water, poured it into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, they didn't have socks like we do back then, and they didn't have pavement and sidewalks and all those kind of things. So when you walk, you know that if you walk barefoot or you wear sandals or flip-flops or Crocs, what happens to your feet? They get dirty, don't they? And normally, when you went into someone's house, the servant of the house would wash your feet. Because that hopefully was all of you that was dirty because you had a bath that day, especially if you were going, you were company somewhere. But they would have already done that. So that wasn't what Jesus was doing. Plus, it was the servants that did that. Jesus was not the servant. He was Lord and Master, King of kings and Lord of lords. He was the Savior of the universe. And yet, he got up from where he was seated, where he was seated, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Well, none of them were brave enough to say anything to him at first. We don't know how many of them were before Peter, but whoever went before Peter, they let Jesus do his thing, saying, I don't understand what this is, but whatever. Learn not to ask questions, just trust. And Peter, he gets to Peter, and Peter says, what do you think you're doing, Jesus? He said, do you think you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, Peter, what I'm doing to you, you don't understand right now, but you're going to pretty soon. He said, no, you're not washing my feet. He said, I'll wash yours. That's probably what he was thinking. It's not recorded here, but he was probably thinking that. But you ain't washing mine, no way. And Jesus said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter said perhaps the most Peter thing that he'd ever said. Not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. In other words, get all of me, Lord. And so Jesus washes his feet and goes on and he washes the other disciples' feet. And then he puts his jacket back on, sits down, and talks to them. I want us just to see two important things from this example of Jesus. Because if we want our life to matter, and I hope you do, I hope you know our life, we understand life is not about things that we possess. It's not about how much money we have. We will not be remembered for what we had or what we didn't have, but we will be noticed and remembered, at least for a little while, the impact that we made in the lives of others. And so let's look, first of all, at Jesus' example of grace. Jesus serves his disciples. Mark put that he said, listen, Jesus didn't consider it robbery to be called a man. He liked, because that's how he came. He wanted to identify with us. But Mark also tells us that, listen, Jesus didn't come as a mighty king to overthrow the bad old Romans. Jesus came as a servant. But the example of grace that we find is who's around this table. Because John is careful to point out that Judas Iscariot, who's going to betray Jesus in just a few hours, was sitting at that table and was observing with the disciples and with Jesus this most holy and most revered celebration of the Jewish year, the Passover. Now, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. John tells us that. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew somebody was going to betray me, I wasn't going to invite them to my supper table, especially a few hours before they do what they're going to do. But Jesus did. And what a great reminder to us that nobody is beyond God's grace. That God's grace can reach absolutely anyone, including you, and including that person that you think deserves it the least. But Peter was also around that table. There were a lot of times, I guarantee you, Jesus wanted to say, "All right, Father, we've got to make a substitution. We flubbed this one up with Peter." Because he was either hot or he was cold. There was no in-between with Peter. Remember, Peter was the one that jumped out of the boat. Nobody else did. Now, he ends up sinking because he takes his eyes off Jesus, but at least he got out of the boat. Peter is another example of grace. All of these disciples were examples of God's grace. There was Matthew, whose Jewish name was Levi, who was the IRS man of the day. And I tell you that in the first century Israel, they didn't like the IRS any more than we do today. And yet Jesus called Matthew as one of his disciples. He called fishermen, this ordinary, everyday fisherman, as a reminder to us that God, he knows our past, and he knows our future, by the way. And yet he loves us anyway, and he pursues after us anyway, and he offers us grace anyway. Thankfully, some of us receive that grace, and God makes such a difference in our life that we know and understand that grace is something amazing, not just the title of a song. Because we've experienced it, but we also know there are a lot of people in our world that they can receive that grace if they wanted to, but they don't want to. And so, our natural inclination, well, let's just cast them aside and forget about them. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus let Judas at the table until the very end. And then he says, "What you're going to do, go do it." That is an example of grace. Grace is something that is wonderful. It's something that we don't deserve. Maybe heard of the acronym of what grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That we are who we are, and that we can come before God, and that we can have new life in God because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. I mean, he prayed last week in John chapter 12, made a comment that he would rather there be another way. And we'll see when we look at a later chapter that he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane after the supper with the 11 that are left. He takes three of them with him to this garden where he prays. They fall asleep. And Jesus agonizes in prayer. And you remember what he prays? Not my will, but yours be done. That is an example of grace. Thinking of others more than we think of ourselves. Now that does not mean that we don't think of ourselves or that we're doormats, but that we're not the only ones we think of. And the only way we can do that is with God's help. Because when we're left to our own devices, listen, nobody has to teach any human being to be self-persevering. Nobody has to tell us to look after ourselves. We are pretty good at it without any help. Where we need help is, and when God is working in our life, that's when we're able to say, yes, I matter and I'm important, but so is this other person. And even maybe what this other person needs is more important than what I need right now. And so we let them. Is that a picture of God's grace? I think it is. And I think it's something that God expects us as his children to extend, to be an example of grace to others, just like he's an example of grace to us. And then he goes on and shows us the last example we're going to talk about this morning, the example of greatness. If I were to ask you to think of somebody who is great, probably a lot of us would think of a lot of different people. But what is it that makes somebody great? Most of the time, man, they're the greatest of all time football player or basketball player or greatest singer, or, you know, they've sold the most records, or, you know, they've accomplished the most in their profession, whatever that might be. Or maybe your idea of greatness is having a bunch of kids. You know, Bible says, children are a blessing from the Lord. But none of those are what greatness is. And that's what Jesus talked about when he sat back down and talked to his disciples. He said, you know what? You call me Lord and Master. And you say right, because that's exactly who I am. Good job. You passed the test. You at least get that much of the test right. They don't, by the way, get much else on the test right, but they do get that right. And then he said something. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And Jesus' ought is not just a mere suggestion in the Greek. If you look at that word ought has a lot of force behind it. It said, you better do it. Now, was Jesus just talking about one time? And as we as Free Will Baptists, we still do that. We think it's an ordinance. We think it's an example because Jesus said it was. But is it only important for us when we observe that around Easter time? No. It's something that's to be embodied and lived out every single day. Jesus said, listen, when you're great, if you're seeking after greatness, put others ahead of you. If you want to be great in God's eyes, serve others. Think about others. Give and help others. He said, if you want to be complete, if you want to be blessed, serve others. Remember, Jesus already reminded us in the Gospels, if we seek to find our life, what do we have to do? we have to lose it. And he's not saying that we have to die or that we have to, you know, cut ourselves or, you know, do crazy stuff. But what he is saying is we have to realize that our life is not in us. It's in God. And if our life is in God, what better place can there be? You see, there's people on this earth that have a lot more money than I do. And they have a lot more stuff than I do. They have a lot more famous name than I do. But can I tell you something? They don't have more money, they don't have much stuff, and they don't have much fame as my God does. And see, the thing about God is, he says, I'm one of his. And that's what makes me great. And what makes you great, not in what you accomplish, not in how much money you make, not in how many mission trips you go on, but God says you're great by following me, looking like me, and doing what I've done. Jesus is saying to his disciples, because he is, just in a few days, going to be gone. He's not going to be around anymore. And they're going to have to carry on Jesus' teachings. Well, did they do that, or did they just go back to their life before? Did Matthew end up back at the IRS? Andrew and Simon end up back on the fishing boat? No, they didn't. Church history, take it for what it is, tells us that all the apostles continued in the faith. And the fact that this church is here at 2412 Upper Drive, and that there are churches scattered all around this planet, are the testimony that no, they didn't just give up. And they found that greatness was not in catching a lot of fish or collecting up a lot of taxes, but greatness was found in serving like Jesus did and loving like Jesus did, because history again tells us that all 11 of them died a martyr's death. Some were cut in two, others were hanged, others were boiled in oil. John was exiled to a deserted island. Would these men have endured that had Jesus not changed their life and set a great example for them? Absolutely not. But the fact that they wouldn't recount it, wouldn't recant, rather, wouldn't say, no, that wasn't true, we were just going along and so we were just funding. They proclaimed until their death that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he was the promised Messiah, and that he lived a perfect and sinless life and then laid that life down on a cross of Calvary, that all the whosoevers in the world could have eternal life. Because you see, when we make much of God, Scripture says God makes much of us. And when God makes much of us, it lasts a lot longer and is a lot better than if we make much of us. So what should we do? We should make much of God and understand that we are completely nothing without Him. And that we follow His example, so we love even when it's hard. We give grace even when we don't want to and it's not deserved. And we serve even when we don't particularly want to. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. And Jesus says, how dare you do any less than what I did for you? He said, do you want to be happy? Do you want to be blessed? then you wash one another's feet. In other words, you serve like I serve. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, it's so undeserved. Yet we're so thankful for it. And we recognize we would be in a very bad place without it. Lord, for many that are here that are saved and know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, we say thank you for your amazing grace. And we say, Lord, help us to follow your example. Help us to live as you lived. That we would lift you up in all that we do, not lift ourselves up. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you in this auditorium or watching on the internet, that's never trusted in you, they've never received that new life, they've never received that greatest gift of amazing grace, would you help them today to call out to you? Lord, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to serve like you served. In Christ's name we pray. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this hymn of response. If God spoke into your heart, and there's a decision you need to make, this would be a great day and a great time to make that decision.